And we're pleased to be joined now by trainer Tom Amos. A lot going on with Tom Amos, and unfortunately, not all of it good news. And Tom, we thank you for joining us on a time that's very busy and also probably a time where you're still grieving. And the reason why is that your father, Walter James Amos, you tell me he goes by the name Jim, passed away from the coronavirus last week. And, you know, just the obvious question, how are you feeling? And that must have hit home pretty hard.
I'm feeling fine. And as far as my father's passing, I feel blessed that he lived to be 95. Got to see my kids grow up. He had a great journey, and he left a great mark behind. You know, when he passed away, he had all of his faculties, and I think anybody would opt for that journey if they could have it. So I know he's in a good place with my mom.
That's terrific, and I'm glad that you see the silver lining to a very difficult situation. And Tom, the coronavirus has hit you in a number of different ways. On the day at Oaklawn Park where you won a major stakes race, you shook hands with Sean Payton, the coach of the New Orleans Saints, who a few days later said that he had the coronavirus, and you yourself went into quarantine. Take us through that. Did you yourself test positive, and how did you feel during that time?
Yeah, so Sean came up for Coach Parcells, had a horse running later that day in the Rebel, and I knew he was coming up. So my wife and I were with him for the afternoon, and, you know, he's a good handicapper. He bet on Serengeti Empress, so after she won, he gave me a big hug and a high five, and then he presented the trophy in the winner's circle to me. So I just felt that we'd had a lot of contact. So when the following Thursday it was announced that he had tested positive, look, this thing is bigger than one person. I knew that my wife and I had to do the right thing and self-quarantine, even though we're feeling fine. I was never able to get tested because the testing was reserved for people with symptoms, and I never had any. So, I didn't want to take somebody's test away from them. So we quarantined for the 2 weeks, and we haven't had any issues.
And Tom, getting now back to racing, and you are very fortunate to be a very successful trainer, one of the probably top 10, 12 trainers in the country. Also, you've been competing in Oaklawn Park, which is one of a few handful of racetracks still running. But even having said that, I got to imagine that a stable your size, as good as it is, no one hasn't been impacted by the economic downturn in racing. So tell us about how the Tom Amos stable is doing, trying to get through these times with very limited racing options available.
With our stable, we keep it at a set number, and that number has, you know, been the number we've used for a long time now. So the most we'll handle in the way of horses is right at 75. We never get bigger than that. There was a time going way back where we did, and it just didn't work for us. So my stable is no different than anybody else's. When things started to shut down and racing opportunities became limited, you have to represent your clients, and the clients are not only have an investment, but it's an ongoing investing vehicle. So although you're paying a price for a horse initially when you buy them, you know, the upkeep is $3,500 to $4,000 a month. And so for the turf horses in our barn, as well as for some of the horses that are maybe running at a little lower level where the purse money is not as good, there were some hard decisions to be made by each of the owners as to whether they wanted to keep them in training. And so we got a lot smaller. The stable got a lot smaller, as did everyone else's. And once that happens, then you've got to make a decision on your help and what to do with them. To this point, we have kept, you know, help that otherwise we would have let go. And our hope there is that this thing turns around quickly, and also recognizing that the people that work for me, really, they give their heart and soul to the job. And I have a lot of difficulty telling them goodbye when they've worked so hard for me. So we're trying very hard as a stable, as I'm sure others are, to keep our help. And we'll just see what the next couple of weeks holds and kind of go from there.
Well, I imagine a win in the apple blossom would go a long way towards solving some of those problems, not all of them. And boy, you have the marquee horse in there in Serengeti Empress, who was the Kentucky Oaks winner of last year. First of all, Tom, and we had talked about this the other day before when I was setting up this interview. And right now, with Oakland being the only game in town, there's no other options for top horses to run. And it's not just the Apple Blossom. It's the Fantasy. It's the Arkansas Derby. It's the Count Fleet Stakes on this card. With people coming from all over the country to run, this is almost like a mini Breeders' Cup. You know the Apple Blossom's never going to be an easy spot, but how about the 14 horses in here and how loaded this field is?
Yeah, look, it's a very, very deep group. I mean, really, you know, outside of Midnight Bisou, who just got back from the Middle East, it reads like a Breeders' Cup. So I think the fan, on the one hand, the fans are going to get treated to a great Apple Blossom on Saturday afternoon with 14 horse field. On the other hand, if you're one of the participants, the water's deep. And for Serengeti Empress specifically, she's got some challenges. And the challenges are, number one, her post position, which is on the outside in post 11. And it's no secret what Serengeti Empress does to win races. She goes to the front, and she improves her position. And when you look this field over Saturday, there is very talented speed inside of her. So the secret to Serengeti's success or failure is going to be how quickly can she control the race. And with, again, with a number of horses that have speed inside of her, there'll be a lot of handicappers that are going to say, I don't see Serengeti Empress getting the trip she wants. Translated into, I don't think she's going to win the race. And I get it. If you could let me bet after a quarter of a mile, which is a very little part of the race, I'd be able to tell you, you know, what her outcome's going to be. But again, how quickly can she make the lead out of an outside post before they get to the first turn? Because once you get to that turn, anything other than being on the rail is a matter of losing ground to the horse that is on the rail. So for us, I mean, we're committed. We're going to make the lead. So you're going to see Serengeti Empress on the lead. But the question is, what does she have to do to get it? She not only has to be as fast as the horse inside of her, but she's got to be a length and a half to two lengths faster than them, because she's got to move over and get to the rail and get to the front. So we're asking a lot of her. And as I said earlier, Bill, she's got a big challenge ahead of her.
Well, Tom, it sounds like you're eliminating the option of her stalking. Now, I know that's not her preferred style, but all things being equal, if some of these other horses like Cookie Dough and Come Dancing gun out of the gate, maybe a better trip for most horses would be to sit second or third. It sounds like you just think that that's not the way she likes to run.
Yeah, I'm not looking at her form as we speak, but I know her. And the bottom line is this. For Serengeti Empress to win, she needs to clear. She needs to clear the field, and she needs to create separation between her and the rest of the field. She did that in the Azari, her last race there at Oaklawn, and it was in the slop, and there's a chance of rain. So all those things are pluses. You know, she's running off track before and run well. She's shown she likes this track. That's a good sign, too. Same jockey, Joe Talamo, another good sign. But the amount of natural early speed in this race, the Apple Blossom, versus the amount of natural early speed in these areas is not even close. So for our horse, Serengeti Empress, to win, there's no question she's going to have to go quicker earlier to create that separation. And from that outside post, just how much horse are we going to have to use to make the lead?
Now, Tom, going back to the Azari, it's not that she was in bad form, but she hadn't won since the Kentucky Oaks. Then she comes out in the Azari, wins by a very comfortable margin, runs a 101 buyer figure, the top of her career. How much was that a result of the horse being real good right now? How much of it was it a result of getting the kind of trip that you just talked about that really is in her favor?
So a little of both. When she came out in her four-year-old debut in Houston Ladies, we made a critical error. It was basically a field very similar to the Azari. And that day when she broke from the gate, we were able to make the lead in really pedestrian fractions, very, very slow. But in doing so, we kept the entire field in the race. Going down the backside, I think there were probably seven lengths from first to last. That's not her game. So when we came back in the Azari, I really felt we'd missed an opportunity. So we not only made the lead in that race, but we let her go more legitimately. Create that separation, make the horse that are sitting behind them, behind her, have to get out of their style, which is to lay back and run, and start using horse a little bit earlier to get better position against Serengeti Empress so they can hopefully pounce on her. And as it turned out, that worked out well for us. and not so well for her competition.
Tom, let's take a look at some of the other horses you have on the card, and I'm going to touch on a few of them. In the sixth race, you have a claiming race. This horse is dropping in class. Altito dropping from 25 down to 12.5. Obviously, this horse has the class to win, but this horse is almost the opposite of Serengeti Empress. Looks like she's going to come from last or next to last and needs a fast pace in front of her. But I respect the horse off the drop. Looks like this one has a good chance.
Good chance, but now you're talking about having to come from behind. And what kind of trip we get, and again from an outside post. So that's a horse that's going to need some pace up front. When you're handicapping, you need to kind of pay attention to that and see if you think there's other pace in the race that can help a horse like Altito. And again, it comes down to trip. Well, you know, we keep harping on trip. We're talking about outside post positions here. And look, think of it like you're thinking of a group of human athletes running in a road race. I mean, we see it in the Olympics all the time. They stagger the start based on how wide you are. So the person that's the widest gets the stagger start that looks like he's ahead of everyone else. But in the end, he's not running any further. They're running the same distance. It's not the same in horse racing. We're all starting from the same spot. So it's a disadvantage to have that outside post unless you can get the trip.
Tom, how about Delp in the second race? Now, this is an interesting horse. First time off the claim for Maggie Moss, one of your primary owners. But this horse looked like a turf horse. The only win of the horse's career is on the grass. But obviously, grass isn't an option at Oaklawn Park. So is this a horse that you think can duplicate recent form and win this 20 claimer on the dirt?
Well, it didn't run well last time on the grass. And that was the day we claimed Delp. But if you go back to his two-year-old form, he has some attractive races on the dirt. They weren't winning races necessarily, but they were attractive in terms of the speed figures and what my method of speed figures are, which is the rags and sheets. So there was some attraction there. And we're at a point with Delp where we just need to know where we stand with him. And so yeah, we're rolling the dice here for sure. But there is some dirt race to go back to for him.
Okay, very good. Well, Tom, that wraps up things for me on my end. Glad to hear that you're holding up okay and continued success. Good luck with Serengeti Empress and all your other starters at Oakland on Saturday.
My pleasure, Bill. You take care.
Thank you, Tom.